Previously on Supergirl Gab.
So we get to see Selina starting to, like, take control of her powers.
I have a friend who, like, we literally for years have theorized that she is an alien.
She gets really thirsty for this, like, for this hunky guy. And so I think my brain immediately went to a woman named Blanche.
And now... So I mean, maybe.
But, sorry, well, no. I was trying to make a Crisis on Two Earths joke, and I
some
didn't
kind
quite
of punk
get there.
Crisis.
Hunks on Two Earths.
I will say
one
though,
hunk on Two Earths. Anyway,
one hunk on Two Earths. Yeah, instead of infinite hunks on infinite Earths.
Yeah, if only, right?
One hunk. Infinite Earths. One hunk. The idea there is a lot of the time though she's like a little bit like she has some kind of like attraction to him, but it's like there is a lot of the time she's like, look, I don't have time for this. It's like,
yeah,
you're nice, but
really
look,
my mom's about to die.
There are parts where she's just like, look, you're nice, but I'm in the middle of something, you know. So it's like maybe then in the course of him still like pursuing her,
I think there is a moment when he said, because I think she has a sense of like him being under her, and so she's trying to be gentle but not like not super harsh over something that she knows that he can't control. I'm probably giving the movie too much credit, but there's a little bit of a sense of that, because then when he says, oh yeah, I do love her. Like that's how I feel now. Kara actually smiles and is like, oh, really? Really? Like,
she's like, oh, really? Wait, really? Like,
yeah.
I've barely said like a paragraph worth of anything to you.
See, I almost interpret that as like her being like, oh, that's actually a pleasant surprise because, you know, I was expecting you to feel indifferent after everything. And then I do like the fact that there is a kind of okay part with Ethan, probably like the part that I liked him the most, where he kind of realizes that she's Superman's cousin, and then he starts asking her, like, wait, so can you do all of it? Can you do like the leap tall buildings and you can do all that?
Yeah.
And then he's like, oh wow. He just like kind of really impressed. It's like, you know, that's a reasonable reaction. I feel like that's okay. And then of course, by hokey screenwriting, he figures out that she is actually Linda because they kiss.
Yeah.
Which
that's how you can tell. It's just like Spider-Man ripped this off.
I don't know if you ever watched the original Gem and the Holograms cartoon. But there was a weird love triangle between Jerrica and her alter ego Jem and her boy and Jerrica's boyfriend.
How
and
hunky was he?
Technically, but he was also like the worst. In the comic has done a lot better. The comic kind of adaptation that's done a modern retelling actually has her boyfriend Rio. Is his name
Rio? Yeah, that's his name.
Yeah, and he's like there's no actual love triangle between the three of them. Like he doesn't see Jem in a romantic way, and it's like the story's way better for it. But in the original, like there's this weird thing where he's definitely seeing Jerrica, but then he's also kind of interested in Jem, and he's told Jem that he's had feelings for her, and Jerrica never takes offense to this.
Yeah. Oh, you should be so insulted.
It's so creepy. And I'm pretty sure he has kissed. I think
both
he kissed
them?
Both. I think so.
Why did two person love triangles used to be so popular?
I don't know, but I do know that the creator of that did go on to write other comics, and I would love, and I've heard that her comics are have some kind of iffy couple issue, like, pairing things, too, but I would really love to know if she pulled more of this, like, thing. I mean, it has to be, part of it has to be, like, tied to the original Clark Kent, Superman, Lois Lane stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Which was way more of like, I guess more when, of, get out of my way, Clark. I have to go meet with Superman.
Yeah, it's like Lois. It's that it's old less, way was like Lois actively has utter disdain for for Clark, and then is just head over heel over the moon for Superman.
Yeah. But yeah, in this, it's at the very least, like, the kiss seems spontaneous and not like, and I forget how it comes to be, but he immediately figures out, because apparently in the couple of kisses he had put upon her while he was under the magic spell, he has learned every texture of her
maybe
mouth.
She just kisses
area.
Really, really weird.
Maybe. I mean, she is an alien.
Yeah, so maybe she's like, and she doesn't know how to do it. So, like, maybe when he kisses her again and she's like, oh, what is she doing, like, with her teeth?
No one could kiss this strangely besides my own Linda Lee.
Yeah.
So he figures it out, and then he immediately gets kidnapped by Selena again.
I love that time, too, they don't even, like, mess around.
No,
with, like,
they just need him to be in peril again. Just so they're like, well, yeah. And then she's genuinely
at this point in the movie, they don't have time for anything else. There's like still so much, too much stuff that has to happen. So they're just like, let's just get him over here.
Yeah. So,
which I'm fine with.
So then Kara tries to save her boyfriend, who is now a zombie, basically mindless zombie.
A love zombie.
At least brain-wise, I think he's not actually, like, rotting flesh.
He's not dead.
For anybody listening to this who has not actually seen the movie but just decided to jump into our insanely long podcast.
I love that our episode about this is going to be much longer than the movie.
Well, we keep going on to tangents about other films, and that's kind of a problem.
I do not think it is a problem at all. I think it's a
problem
wonderful.
It's a problem for our time.
It's a wonderful side effect.
But he's completely, like, zoned out. There is, like, this weird sexual tension where the way his arm flops. And then, of course, Selena kissing him. And it's like, as a child, I was like, oh, gosh, this seems a little... I mean, talking about the weird stuff in the what for you, the comic. But I remember that part being like, oh, this feels a little scandalous. And, like, I don't know.
Oh,
there's
totally.
Like a weird, there's a weird creepiness to it.
They're doing kisses.
And she's shouting, Ethan, which is the only reason why I can remember his name, because I can remember that perfect moment. And then she's in the Phantom Zone square thingy, diamond, whatever. And she gets zapped into the Phantom Zone, in which she finds
her reaction to what is happening there is what sells it as being something, like, way more scandalous than it is. Like, she seems so devastated by that.
Yeah, which I feel like could have... I mean, she's trying to sell it as hard as she can, so I'm not gonna fault her for it. But the movie doesn't really set it up to be that gigantic of a deal. Like, yeah, it's horrifying because he's a human being, and
maybe she thinks that was their special thing that no one else has ever done.
They figured it out. They figured out this new special thing together. there were so many ways that they could have actually built up the relationship so that moment actually felt more earned, and instead it's like, I really wonder if it would have been, I mean, it would have been more interesting, but there was no way they were going to do this in 1984. As you said, like, their point of view was like, let's get girls into it, so romance and the hunky boy, But it would have been interesting if it was literally just a guy friend who she had no, like, no romantic feelings for. So when he got zapped out, he says, like, oh, yeah, I'm not in love with her. And then her going, like, oh, whew, well, now we can be friends, you know, like, oh, good, my friend is back, my good pal. And then her being horrified for her friend, which might have been a little more, you know. And honestly, the ending could have been almost exactly the same with him just staring up in wonder, but we'll get to that. But yeah, she's freaking out. She gets sent to the Phantom Zone, and then she gets to see super drunk Peter O'Toole, who is, again, just in fine comedic form. He delivers such an interesting performance in this movie, and he plays a sloppy drunk really well in this.
I think he, not to speak ill of people's personal states at the time, but it's like, I think he had quite a bit of experience with being just fall down drunk.
Yeah.
But still a great actor.
There's something, but again, it's so strange because, like, he wasn't even, like, really angry when we last saw him when he was going to get sent this terrible punishment. He was fairly blasé about it. Now he's like, and now I'm drinking my misery for the rest of time.
That's the thing about the Phantom Zone is, like, it's only been, like, a little bit for her, but he has been there for a very, very, very long time.
That's true.
You don't, that's kind of like a, you know, they don't give that fact a lot of attention, but it's like, if you're a Superman nerd like me, where you know how the Phantom Zone works, and then whatever that little line he says is about how long he's been there already, makes you go like, oh, okay, that's the deal. This is like, he's been here for who knows how long, but you don't get old in the Phantom Zone. You don't age. You don't whatever. It's just it's a prison of eternal, nothingness.
Yeah. But Peter O'Toole is just, he's like, I'm getting drunk for the rest of time, and now you can join me. It's going to be great. We're going to suffer, but we're going to be drunk, so it'll be better.
Which made him seem like, again, we don't know what the deal with her age is for sure, but like, I just always got like kind of a creepy vibe off of him. For that whole, all of the Phantom Zone stuff, even when he's trying to, you know, he's clearly sacrificing himself to try to help her, kind of. That whole time, I'm just going like, this is kind of creepy. And it also, it really icked me out that he kept saying squirt. Like,
yeah, that was not a good choice.
Say, take it. He's like, do you want a drink? Quit saying, do you want a squirt?
You know, you said it, that Europeans created this movie. Maybe that was something lost in translation.
All right, fair enough. I mean, the thing does squirt whatever the liquid is.
Yeah, but it's just like, let's use something that's not that phrase.
Can you just not say it every single time?
Like, oh man, what if that was like the low-key advertising that we didn't even realize was being advertised?
For squirt? The drink squirt? Well, yeah, that makes it even better than, and now I bet that is what happened, is it's supposed to be squirt, and that's why when she goes to take, when he squirts some of it in her mouth, she's like,
oh, it's
repulsed.
Disgusting. Yeah. Oh, man. So one of my other favorite moments of the movie that I was actually pretty surprisingly pleased about is there's this little speech that Kara gives to Peter O'Toole that basically convinces him to try, where she's like, well, I guess we should just give up then. We'll just give up and we'll sit here like fat slobs, like sweaty, old slobs, and we'll just drink the rest of the time while all of our people die. And she gives him like a sly smile, and then he's like, you know, we're probably not going to make it. And she's like, well, we have to try. Yeah. And it's kind of like there's some rapport there. She has a personality. There's a little, like, you can kind of see
she's got
why.
That, she's got that. She's like a Spitfire. She's like, yeah, she's got yeah, that.
It's the closest Kara comes here There was maybe like a super, there's a hero speech towards the end that's a little bit of the Kara that we know from the TV show. But this is like the most we get, the closest we get to like, to that personality that we know and that we base this whole podcast around.
Right. She's got that strength of character regardless of the superpowers.
Yeah, yeah, and it just would have been nice to see more of that personality earlier in the movie, because it's very on and off. But this felt like a kind of nice moment where the writing and the acting and the character and the little beat between her and Soltar really actually worked quite well.
Yeah.
And then he's like, well, I guess if we're going to go on a suicide mission, we might as well get going. I'm not going to get any drunker because I've tried. So they climb up, right? Like they climb up to try to get to like,
it's weird. It seems like they're supposed to be climbing up, but then there's also points where it seems like it's flat.
Yeah.
And it's just like making heads or tails of that is open to anyone's interpretation.
Yeah. I should also point out that this was a part of the, when I've originally watched this movie, where I was like, okay, I've clearly missed something. Because suddenly she's in like another space and then this old man is there.
Yeah.
And I'm just what is going on? I clearly must have missed a big chunk of this movie.
Right.
Because this person was clearly introduced earlier, and I did not see it.
I'll tell you, it did not make much more sense when I was seeing it the first time. It's just like, yeah. This seems... So, but I will say the Phantom Zone seemed very scary.
It is. It's like, it's very unnerving, even watching it now. I mean, granted, it's still like... But it is still one of those things where it's... You get a good sense that it's... It's supposed to be really intimidating and very isolating.
Yeah.
So atmospheric wise, it does its job. So Kara and Zoltar are struggling because Selena is casting spells and such and so forth to get them to fall to their doom.
Really pointless. You could have just made the thing. It's like, that's like needless time, yeah, you know, filler.
It could have just been like the Phantom Zone doing the exact same things.
It doesn't seem that hard to get out. It's like for it to be so impossible, like you just make it a horrible, hard, you know, ordeal. You don't need to add her like going, oh, now I'll shoot these fireballs at them.
And then there's the part that is, I didn't think it was super great, where Kara kept saying that she can't.
Yeah, that seemed really odd. Like, she's been so gung-ho about everything, and then to suddenly like, it's windy here, I don't think I can do this.
Yeah, it feels very much of a, like, we need her to falter and then have the mentor. I mean, let's just be honest that Zoltar is pretty purely Obi-Wan at this point in the movie.
That's exactly what I was about to say. It's like, you gotta have him pull this Obi-Wan moment.
Well, I'm going to die now. But don't worry, I'll give you great character motivation. And later on, I'll whisper in your ear and give you an encouraging...
It won't be just like that time with Luke Skywalker in Star Wars.
Not even close.
It's totally our own thing.
Yeah. So he dies.
Just the way you said that is like so perfectly like, whatever.
We've been talking about this movie for so long, I don't know what else to say about. So, but I was like, goodbye, Peter O'Toole. You were charming and too good for this movie.
I disagree. I think he was just the right amount of good for this movie. I think everyone did a great job in this movie for the most part, and this movie was not beneath any of these people. It's a wonderful, fun movie that is, I gotta say, what a difference it made finally seeing this like much longer version of the movie, where like, because I wish now that I could find like the other versions of this movie and send them to you so you could see how baffling, how even more baffling like this movie was, like watch the like whatever 80 something minute version where, you know, 40-50 minutes have been cut out.
I can only imagine that it's that I can, because There are a few scenes in here I might trim down, but yeah, a lot of it still. So, okay, so we still got a little bit left. So Kara shoots through the phantom zone.
That part where she is then finally, she makes it to the top and she has that where she stands up and you're just seeing her silhouette in that like hero pose. And then the next thing you know, she's flying straight into, you know, she's back. I think that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I mean,
I agree. I have nothing.
On a sliding scale.
But I mean, you also, I can also acknowledge the fact that like you remember that like very specifically from your childhood. And I only saw this movie once until like a few weeks ago. So it doesn't have like, I can appreciate it even if I don't have that same emotional connection to it.
Yeah. Well, I didn't even really remember that part seeing it this time. It was just, but then when that happened, I was like, yeah, super. The ending is about to happen.
Yeah.
Supergirl's being heroic.
While Kara's still in the Phantom Zone, we have to talk about one of the weirdest reactions to anything in this, movie to something else in this movie. So, okay. So we have an evil witch.
Yeah, yes, yes. Yeah. I thought you meant literally something that happened in the Phantom Zone. But yes,
no,
the part that,
in the movie.
Yeah. Go.
Yeah, so we have an evil witch who's taken over the town, arguably possibly like the tri-state area, possibly the state, like a larger. She's already talking about taking over the world. So
by the end of the week, she will have all of North America, basically.
Yeah, yeah. Like none of this is even close to being like a normal thing. So what happens? The townspeople, led by Lucy Lane, have a picketing.
A little picket sign protest.
And it's like, Selena must go, and we don't want you in our town. And I'm this isn't a Walmart. It's not like a corporate grocery store moved into town. This is an evil witch who will murder you.
It's like, you guys are... All right, so here's what we have to establish about this world now, since this takes place in the Superman, in the same universe, the same version of Earth as that other Superman, the other Superman movies. These are the chillest people. This is an alternate reality, a reality where people still have normal reactions or like kind of big reactions to normal everyday stuff. But when someone makes the biggest mountain in the world suddenly appear in the middle of Chicago with a giant fortress atop it, what they do, they aren't pulling their hair out and like losing their minds with like, this is a world of nonsense now. Nothing makes sense. When a guy shows up and can just fly, they're not like, everything I know about the universe has changed. You know, there is no God. This guy can fly. How is this possible? They see these things and they're like, oh, get a load of this in the newspaper. This guy can fly. Or they're like, this giant mountain has appeared out of nowhere and there's a new sorcerer queen dictatorship has been established. And my response is to just make a sign and go stand and wait for her to drive by and then go like, yeah, you can't do this to me. I'm with the press.
No, like, yes, as though it was like, let go of this was, I wrote this down word for word because I thought it was the funniest line in the whole. So when they're getting like arrested by her secret guards or whatever, he goes,
by her
stormtroopers, let go of me. I'm with the press. And it's hilarious. Jimmy.
Unbelievable.
It honestly made his inclusion in this movie 100% worth it.
Totally worth it. And this is the thing. Look at this. And how can you hear what we are saying about this movie right now and hear this explanation we've given you of what has happened and not think this movie is wonderful? You know, it's like, this movie is clearly a delight. The thing you just have to wrap your mind around is that it takes place in an alternate universe where the rules are completely different for how people react to things.
Yeah, I almost think that like if it had gone just a little bit weirder, because there's some parts of this movie that are that are to the point of mundane. And if they had almost gone a little more bonkers in other parts, because it felt like it played it too safe in really specific ways.
Okay.
And so I can see like a weirder, more interesting movie just right underneath the surface if they had actually pushed through it. And right. I could see a better constructed movie in the seams of this movie. And I wish that I could have seen either of those movies, even though I've found reasons to really enjoy this for like kind of the messiness that it is.
Yeah.
So
I'm just working with what they give me. I'm trying to enjoy what they're giving me.
So Kara goes to save the day. She's back in the regular world. And Jimmy, this was pretty fun. Jimmy and Lucy and Nigel, the ex/teacher are all in cages, just like dangling above. Like it's such a superhero. It's such a comic book thing. It's ridiculous. Yeah. I would like to also point out that the Nigel, the witch's ex, would be most known as the clergyman from The Princess Bride.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I had completely forgotten about that, but you're totally right.
So thank you, IMDb, for making sure that I knew that. So
we would have gotten some angry letters if we hadn't mentioned that.
Probably, like, how could you not remember that? Oh my god! which seems to be, I mean, he's done like a lot of BBC shows, or he did a lot of BBC
shows. Well, he was part of a very famous comedy duo back in the 60s with Dudley Moore. And the part of Zoltar was originally offered to Dudley Moore, and he was like, no, thank you.
That would have been...
Would have been a completely different movie, right?
Oh my god. He also, and I only vaguely remember this movie because it's sad, but he was also, his last role was as Lord Wexmeyer in Black Beauty in 1994. Okay. Which is like, it's a horse movie in the 90s. So it's like very tailored to my demographic, but I believe it was also quite sad. So I think I only watched it once.
Yeah. You're like, once was enough.
Yeah, I can, like, I know exactly how that goes down. So, but no, he has another really good line that I ended up writing down was, terrific, the old dangling in a cage routine.
Oh, yeah, I love that he's, like, just so nonplussed, like, about the whole thing.
Well, and he's just, like,
he's not so mad, he's like, this is hacky.
Yeah, he's just so disappointed in Selena's like hacky, uncreative choices as an evil villain.
Yeah, he's thinking that like
if I was doing this, I would have made it way more interesting.
Oh, but the cages I would have put everybody in would have been so much more ornate.
Also, just like if I'm gonna die like this, I hate the fact that I'm dying dangling from a cage.
Yeah,
like how uncouth.
So where we're at now is basically we're finally to the big final confrontation between Supergirl and Selena. Selena is at full power. The Omega Hedron has turned that weird little box that she put it in into a giant monstrous looking thing, which I gotta say, that thing is also like the as it continues to grow, like the gnarlier and just more kind of scary looking it gets.
They did set up the idea of like of it being the tension of the thing growing in size throughout the whole thing.
Totally.
Like there's some sense of that this was going to come back to be big trouble. And the movie does a good job of pacing that out pretty well. So I'll give them that. I also, I will say though, I remember very little about the actual like action fight scene of this.
So she shows up and Supergirl shows back up. She gets the friends. I'm trying to go through this like super fast now. Because I don't want him to keep doing that for the whole rest of the episode. The Supergirl shows back up and she gets her friends out of the cages and by doing super breath to the hot pokers that they were going to land on. And then she tells them to go stand in that alcove over there. Like, why yeah. so specific? Just like, get out of here. Get to safety. And then Selena starts using her powers to make the floor all uneven and shaky. And Supergirl's like struggling around and falling down. And it's like, did you forget that you know how to fly? You've been flying an awful lot for the entire rest of this movie. The
screenwriters definitely forgot.
Yeah, they're like, it'll be hard to do the wires in this room we've got this happening in. So let's have her just fall down. But the thing is she gets to the end of where the floor is goofy and then flies. And it's like, whoa, why didn't you just do that the whole time? Why didn't you just hover? Literally, all you have to do is get an inch off the ground. You don't have to do anything impressive.
They could have even had a throwaway line of like, haha, try to do this without your flight. You can't.
Which I can magically take away somehow.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like they could have said any, there's so many things in this movie that all they needed was a throwaway.
Just someone say something. Give us anything.
Just to confirm that there is a reason for something to happen. And there's enough like flexibility of reality in this universe, like in the DC universe in general, but like specifically this version of the DC universe. That they could have done a little more to just make it to at least give the audience like, yeah, there's a reason this happened. It's just not random. It's not just
just whatever. If you give us anything, we'll go, okay, that's fine. All right, we'll accept it. But then Selena, once Supergirl gets past that stuff, Selena makes this, you know, the power of shadow, she calls it, is the thing she's been referring to. And then this monster that shows up absolutely horrified me as a kid. I was like, this is truly scary looking to me, like just nightmares about that monster. And then it's like, wow, this is so cool. Why didn't they ever have Superman do something like this? And then I guess maybe the answer is because how ridiculous it all ends up going when Supergirl goes to try to confront the monster and it grabs a hold of her. And then somehow, instead of just like squeezing her, it turns her into where the film is all like stretching and warping, like a special effect. Like, okay, maybe it's hard to have a person on wires fight a giant, a puppeted monster, like a monster that is also probably on wires. So I don't know, but then that happens. And eventually it's still like an interesting, at least they were trying something, you know, it wasn't just kryptonite. It wasn't just.
Yeah. I will say that the idea of, again, them focusing on a magic user, it's still really like it was one of the smartest things they could have done. The lack of kryptonite is actually just a breath of fresh air because it's so easy to rely on that as your main thing in any super story. I mean, again, I can see really, and Faye Dunaway is just always on in this movie.
Yeah.
She is 100%.
She's going for it. She's like, I'm going to, on the off chance this movie is a huge hit, I want people to remember how great I am in it.
Well, and you said it yourself earlier that she knows the kind of movie she's in and she's not going to go away from it. I mean, this is the same woman that, I'm trying to double check that I'm thinking of the same actress, but I'm pretty sure I am. Oh my gosh, she's been in so many things. I'm trying to scroll down the whole way.
She's one of the, you know, best actresses of the 20th century. She's amazing. She's been in so many great movies.
Yeah, and she's also like, But she's also done camp. Like, she's done a lot
of... Yes, she's over been...
Over the top. But that's what I was getting to. Like, she's done a lot of, like, over-the-top camp in a good way. Like, in a good way.
Yeah.
But...
She's got range.
And this one is... She's got range. Was she in Mommy Dearest? I'm trying to... That's the one that I'm trying to... Okay.
That's her.
I was making sure, because I was like, I'm pretty sure. And that was the one that was sticking in my mind. And of course, wasn't she just playing, maybe I'm thinking of, I might be thinking of another actress for this one. Actually, she was in The Bye Bye Man, which I heard was not a very good movie, so bless her heart.
No, it's awful, but her scene in that is, like, so hilarious. She literally has, like, one scene in the movie, and it's, like, a scene where they've just got her, like, sitting in a room, and, like, a character comes in to, like, get some, you know, some, like, exposition from her, and then that's it. It's like, boy, we got a real movie star in this.
Yeah. But yeah, she's super good. Oh yeah, she was in Dunstan Checks In, the Monkey Hotel movie. Where an orangutan comes in and causes all this chaos. I'm pretty sure...
Somebody's got to be in it.
I've seen this movie, and if I'm remembering her character right, if I'm thinking it's the same one, it's she's getting like a spa massage, and she doesn't realize... that the masseuse has left the room, and in its place is the monkey, who's giving a very strange, her usually very sexy male masseuse is giving a very strange, very, like, I don't think they use the word sensual, but she's clearly, like, super excited about it in a way that is not appropriate for a children's show. Anyway, I need to stress just how much she sells very, very goofy, roles. And with Selena, she is just all in the whole time. What was it? So there's a line, and maybe you'll remember because you've seen this movie a lot, but Kara says something like, "You think the world revolves around you."
She's and like, then, you think everyone on, she says something like, you think everyone is beneath you. We're, like, you know, everyone's just here for, and she's like, yeah, that's basically.
Disturbing. Yeah. And she's like, yes. Yeah.
She's like, that is essentially what I think.
you've nailed my character.
She's like, wow, you've really been paying attention.
Have you read the script? And then, all right. So how does it, again, I'm vaguely remembering this whole scene. So how does
what happens is she Supergirl gets loose from the monster, and because she's getting like all scrunched up by the monster, and then she hears Zaltar telling her that she can do it, and so that gives her the force. Yeah, it strengthens her midichlorians, and then she's able to. So she gets free from the monster, and she's like, you know, you're not going to beat me, whatever. And Selena is like trying to do something. I don't know. Oh, no. What it is Ethan goes and puts the lid on the Omegahedron box or something, and that makes the monster go away. And so then there's like a break in the fighting, and Nigel yells like, "You've got to confront her with it or something. That's the only way to stop its power." So I don't know. So then Supergirl, for some reason, instead of just going, to me, now that she doesn't, the thing isn't at full power, it seems like Supergirl could just fly over there and punch her, but instead, she flies over there and goes around her in a circle until she is, like, pulled up into a whirlwind.
Right.
And then somehow...
It's all coming back to me.
Yeah, and then also pulls up Bianca, which I really feel is not terribly fair, because, I mean, Bianca was basically just there.
Yeah, it's... It reminded me a lot of that part of Aladdin where this exact same thing happened.
Oh, yeah, where Iago gets pulled in as well.
But Iago is, like, way more
he's evil.
Implicit.
Like, Bianca's just
he does some legitimately, like, actively
bad
planning
things.
Stuff.
Whereas, Bianca's like, this is just my roommate. Please do not...
I mean, yeah, I sometimes drive her around, and I haven't stopped her from doing anything.
But I'm also not actively plotting against the heroes. And there's multiple times where she's like, hey, let's maybe just, don't you think
not
this is going
this.
Too far?
Yeah.
But then Supergirl spins them both around in a tornado until they get sucked into a broken mirror that then goes all back together, which I guess they get sent to the Phantom Zone. Is what we're led to believe.
Well, according to the comic that's coming out, that's exactly...
Yeah, that is exactly what happens.
I don't know if we're going to get Bianca. I don't know if
I would imagine not. That's probably, like, one step too far.
I don't know, though, because they're bringing back...
They might mention her. I can't wait to read this now.
I'm excited, too. Like, when I found out, I was like, oh, sweet, there's... I mean, not just because we're about to do it, because, like, oh, yeah, you mean that character that I've honestly ended the movie going, like, you know, with a better writer behind her, she'd make a really fun continual villain. So I'm kind of excited about the idea of her maybe becoming a rotating villain for Supergirl in, like, regular continuity, because I think there's a lot of potential there.
I would love that. I would love to see her become like one of Supergirl's main villains.
And I mean, I can't promise that she's going to like be focused on anything but like a random hunk in the side corner. But something tells me that maybe her ambitions will actually be a little more focused in this.
Now, you've already got me too hyped up for this. If this comic does not completely change my life for the better, I'm going to blame you.
I mean, Steve Orlando wrote it. I don't know why you're...
That's fun. So, and then Supergirl has effectively saved the day, and she gets the Omega Hedron and is like, all right, I got to get back with this now. It's really important that I go. Please. Linda also had to go. Completely coincidental.
Yeah. And then, so there's this bit though that I don't understand, and I've watched a scene a couple times where she says, she looks at them and Lucy says, don't worry Supergirl, we won't tell anyone you were here, we don't even, or like Jimmy says that, we don't even know you. And it's like, she never asked that, and there doesn't seem to be a reason why that would be a problem. Like, when was Supergirl being around ever a problem?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's playing back to something like they were like, oh, Superman kept her a secret for a while at first when she was first introduced. So they're like, maybe that's the thing.
Yeah, but that's not even what the... I mean, he doesn't even know.
Oh, yeah,
it
doesn't make... I'm grasping at non-existent straws.
My wonder is if at some point it would make way more sense if maybe Lucy had found out during the fight that she was Linda, or if she just figured it out on her own and then she said, like, don't worry, Supergirl, we won't tell your secret identity.
Yeah.
Maybe even Jimmy could have been knocked out, so she'd be like, I'm not going to tell Jimmy because he'll figure out who Clark is.
Again, with just like on the Supergirl show, where it's like, you guys make this all like way too easy to figure out who Superman is. When you say that she's also Clark's cousin, and then suddenly Superman's cousin also shows up, it's like, can we put like a little more separation between these? This is supposed to be the most important secret, you know, in the world, in the DC universe. Yeah. And
it almost justifies the original Superman reasoning for why he put her in an orphanage, but also not, like, almost. But even then it was framed as like, I have a very busy life in Metropolis. I don't really want to have responsibility over you. So I'm going to dump you somewhere. Yeah. Right now, at least with like hey, we can't, I can't have like a superpowered cousin and a cousin in real life that looks like, we need to figure something out so that they don't know that we're,
that they aren't suddenly immediately putting this together.
Yeah. But again, anytime Clark goes somewhere like to report outside of Metropolis, and then suddenly Superman's
there too.
Yeah. Every time, even when Clark's not visiting his cousin, who also lives in a city with a superpowered girl. Ethan is like, hey, so I really, you're great, and I am glad to have known you. And
for a day.
For a day. And there's like a little, again, like, you could see maybe the potential of a better love interest in the way, like, he looks up at her in, like, admiration and awe as she, like, zooms away. There's something there. Like, there's something there. It's just weird because he had no personality. And then suddenly they're like, I mean, not really. He seemed very vaguely human before. and then he gets brainwashed. And then he becomes a Shakespearean actor. And then he has enough time to, like, to barely talk to Kara. And then he gets zapped again and gets brainwashed. And then it's the end of the movie. This is not the way to do a love interest.
I don't know. It's like, what can you, I mean, it, what can you say?
It's pretty standard in terms of, like, not in terms of love interests that are not thought through, where we're supposed to believe that they are in love with each other because that's what you do with the vaguely handsome person of another gender in your movie. I will say that, like, anytime that he helped save the day, like, the few times, it was never like he was taking over the reins for her. She is still, the movie did a pretty good job of setting him up to be damseled and for her to be the rescuer in basically every situation. And the fact that we go back to that scene of Lucy trying to save the day, and then also standing up to Selena, I'll buy it in the dumbest way possible. It's still like it's still a ridiculous scene, like a childish scene almost. Like, how in the world did you think that this would go down?
We're gonna feel so bad when we like do a little more research on this and we find out that this movie was written by a 6-year-old. Like, oh, this is great for a 6-year-old. What are we were way too hard on this.
Well, it was a white male 6-year-old, and, you know, he reminds the producers so much of themselves. They just felt like it was the right time for him.
Yeah, there was absolutely no non-white people in this movie. Unless I'm completely forgetting.
Are there no background? Well, you know, in Illinois, obviously, they're only white people.
But it makes me think that maybe they didn't actually shoot this where they said they did.
What? I would like to point out, there are a lot of waterfalls for
there's lots, like, of just, like, free-running horses in Illinois, right?
In Illinois, yeah. Right next to all the corn.
So, and Supergirl flies off. Somehow she's going to get back to Argo City.
Yeah.
She's going to get, I'll accept that this has all happened in like 2 days or something. But
I don't, that does, like, there has to have been like a week. It feels,
no,
it does not feel like it's been two days.
It's like 3 days at most. The thing that I have a hard time buying is the fact that, and we didn't even talk about this at the beginning, but when she's in that egg and somehow goes from little girl to Supergirl in that time period, and she's flying through all of those, you know, stock footage of like weird special effect paint, you know, and oil stuff getting mixed up to look like weird flying through the what is it? The binary, whatever, yeah. Whatever the space, inner space, whatever thing she's supposed to be flying to. Then she pops up on Earth. She just flies back into the water with the Omegahedron, and she doesn't get like back into an egg or whatever, something to like fly her back to Argo City. And so it's like, so is Argo City, is the inner space that Argo City is in, does that just mean underwater? Like the other thing that kind of just stuck out to me is the fact that there's like, there's no resolution to it. It's just like, they go, okay, she's flying back. We just assume that everything worked out. You know, there's
yeah,
no like,
yeah, it's really, it's kind of a bummer.
There's no happy reunion with her family where it's like, oh, you really saved the day for us. You know, we didn't think you could do it, but you really proved us wrong and shown how capable you are.
Well, they have to actually set up any of those things.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't really do any of, like, we don't even really see her talk. We barely see her talking to her dad. We barely see her talking to her mom. The only other person we really see her interacting with is now not there. He's in the Phantom Zone.
No, he's so dead. He was destroyed in the Phantom Zone.
Oh, right, right, right.
The quantum vortex.
No. Then he comes back in a robe, and he tells them to go to the,
tells her about her brother.
To the Omega system. That's gonna spawn an entirely different.
Right. Oh man. Yeah. Now I want to see the Empire Strikes Back version of Supergirl 2. I'm like, oh, it's gonna get real dark,
man. That
Ethan's gonna get frozen in carbonite.
See, I was totally gonna say Jimmy.
Oh yeah, that would probably make more sense since he's not the like direct love interest. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, there aren't that many like direct connections. Yeah, at some point Clark says, "I am your cousin," and she's like, "Yeah, I know."
Yeah, I know. I've talked about that a lot.
Yeah, like it was actually in the first scene of the first movie.
I mean, earlier in my life. Anyway, so well, Katie, overall, what are your thoughts on on Supergirl?
I think it's a very campy movie that's pretty messy. It would definitely not be like my first recommendation to anyone in terms of like superhero media, not even superhero or Supergirl content, because obviously we have a whole show dedicated to I think a better one for most audiences. But as a kind of time capsule of like a very specific kind of popcorn movie, and as like the first real attempt at marketing superhero movies to girls, it has good parts and bad, and I think most of the bad we can at least laughingly baffle ourselves about in a fun way, and like genuinely good stuff are like had the potential to be good if they were given enough to go on. So
yeah.
Yeah.
If this movie had like a little more care and, you know, better, maybe some better people put in charge of certain things, not everything. It's not like you'd have to like, I think a lot of the directing is like perfectly fine. You know, it's like handled as well as could be expected for a movie with this kind of budget, you know, in this time
in this time, yeah, and take with a big grain of salt that how we see special effects is, look, not every movie can be Jurassic Park where it seems to never age.
Yeah, exactly.
I literally just saw saw the video of the T-Rex chase like again 2 days ago, and I was just like, Jesus, it's so tight and so like even now it's so competent. Yeah. So not all movies can be like that, and goodness knows the technology in 1984 was only to a certain degree.
Well, I think that's the thing. That's part of why Jurassic Park. I mean, this is a whole different thing, but it's the same part of why Jurassic Park still works so well is because, and it's the same reason why Jaws still works so well. It's like limitations make you work harder to make things work smarter and harder to make things work. And when it's like now, all they do is just show you everything because it's like, oh, our computers now, we can just show everything all the time. And it's like,
yeah,
you know what? Sometimes that is not the best way to do things. Sometimes it would be much better if you didn't see everything. You know, if it's like, if you make it not just be like, oh, we're just going to do this whole thing in the computer. It's like so much of what the magic of Jurassic Park is not just that the CGI is very good, especially for the time, but it's also the fact that then they didn't just go, oh, this is just going to be CGI. They also had animatronics and puppets and people in suits. And it's like, I saw this video that I had never seen before that was talking about behind the scenes stuff on Jurassic Park that they kind of tried to keep secret because they wanted everybody to just think that this all looks so amazing because we've got this new CGI technology. But there's like literally parts in that movie where it's puppets and stuff where they were like, but they're cutting between a puppet and an animatronic and a CGI thing in such a way and putting the camera in a certain place, you know, and just thinking, doing things intelligently, you know. And of course, this movie, Supergirl, was not directed by Steven Spielberg or anything. But one of those things where it's like, you go, oh, when you, or like an Alien, how scary the first Alien movie is because you don't just see the alien constantly. And when you see it, it's not just like, you don't see it just running full speed at the camera in bright light. And you can just, it's like, oh, it's just a computer. It's like, you go, I don't know what's going on. The thing looks creepy. I can barely make it out. So all of that is to say, like, special effects, maybe something. I don't know. I've completely lost the train of thought there.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, well, we have talked about this movie for quite a long time.
Yes, we have.
Very long. And like I said, I think you obviously have like a long, years long love of this movie. And I've come
well,
to
no, I really didn't. It's not like I loved it. See? I was like, that's the thing. It's like I had kind of like a little bit of a fondness for it just because it was like, oh, it's a Superman related thing from my childhood, even though but I was kind of dreading seeing how bad it was going to be, but finally getting to see it like this in this, seeing it for the first time in this much longer cut where the movie makes more sense, really made me go like, oh, this movie's fine. It's got problems, but so does everything. It's fine. This is a good, fun movie. But it definitely does have a place. It will always have a fond place in my heart going forward as like, I have a lot of love for this movie now. So clearly we have made our feelings very known about this movie.
Katie, tell
everybody where they can find you and follow you and all that stuff.
All right, I'm gonna do this fast because I am very tired. We have had a marathon of a conversation about this
movie. Have.
You can find me on Twitter at Just Plain Tweets. My Patreon is patreon.com/justplainsomething. You can find my general information at kshankle.com, but I also do a web series with my partner called Driving Home the Movie. And you can find that on YouTube or at the website justplainsomething.com. And then I also have a comic out right now called Moonlighters, which is about werewolves and the wacky adventures they get into doing odd jobs in their community. Chris, where can we find you? please let this end. We're so close.
I'm at the Chris Haley on Twitter. Follow the show on Twitter at oh, Lord, I don't even know. I can't think of what it is. I'm loopy now. KICTM podcast. Email us your questions, comments, all that stuff. Keep it close to me, podcast@gmail.com. Put Supergirl Gab in the subject line, or we'll just figure it out when I'm reading them. What else? Patreon.com/TheChrisHaley. Like, share, subscribe. I don't know, all this stuff. Thank you to everyone who tweets about the show when they listen to it or when they when we retweets us, all that stuff is super helpful. Leave us a review on iTunes. Thank you to everyone that's already done that. If you subscribe to the show on iTunes, you'll get this show. You'll get, as well as all my other shows, like I've Got to Beat Mortal Kombat Annihilation, Comics Rule Everything Around Me, and just plain old Keep It Close to Me. So,
people sent in questions for Supergirl. If you can't tell, we are very, very, very tired.
We went way longer.
We went way longer than we expected.
We're going to answer all those questions in the next episode. So don't worry. Thank you, everyone who sent in questions. We will get to those in the next episode. We certainly will not waste this opportunity to talk even more about Supergirl the movie.
All right, yeah.
I think that's everything.
With that, yeah. All right, we'll see you next time.
All right, bye, everybody.
Bye. Oh, my God. I seriously did not expect... This is ridiculous. Yeah, that sounds good. Sorry, I'm also like someone, it was actually James Tynan IV, tweeted a cover of Action Comics from the Silver Age where Superman becomes King of Earth. And he's wearing
he's got that huge crown on.
Yeah, and he says, "Bah, the gifts your country sent me will not win any favors. Now that I am ruler of the world, my first command is that every nation replace its flag with a Superman flag, like this one."
Yep.
So he's already a better ruler of mankind than Selena is, who is very the hunk that I spent way too much time trying to fall in love with is now boring me.
Yeah.
It's don't put all your eggs in one basket. Come on, diversify your stock. Come on.
Your hunk stocks.
Your hunk stock. Or just any other goal you have with your magical powers. You're being very uncreative and it's very disappointing. So where should we start off?